This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
This is Computer Talk with Tab, hosted by Eric Semmel of Tab Computer Systems. Interact with Eric and his guest by phone at 522-WTIC or 1-800-966-WTIC. Email them in the studio at gethelp@tabinc.com or get help anytime at computertalkwithtab.com. Now, here's Eric.
And good morning. This is Computer Talk with Tab. I'm Eric.
And I'm Bob.
And Bob is Bob Shorey, one of the MCSEs, comes in and helps us out with your computer problems, comments, questions, and concerns. And let's get right to your calls. You're nice enough to join us on this gorgeous Saturday morning. And let's go to Doug in Waterbury. He's been on the line the longest. Hey, Doug, what's up?
Hey, guys. I'm pretty much a computer novice with just a few questions. I think they might be easy.
All right.
But I'm not sure. Why does my computer seemingly die, meaning screen black, except for a glow around the perimeter of the screen, and I also get a mouse arrow, but I get no home screen or anything like that? I consider that my computer died or breaks.
Yeah.
And that happened with my last computer, which was a very inexpensive Asus, if I'm saying it right.
Yep, sure.
And so after about a week of trying to baby that back by keeping it plugged in, looking at it every so often, pressing the on-off button, that never came back on, so I tossed it.
Yep.
But now I have an RCA, if this makes any difference, a W1162.
RCA, like the I always picture the little dog looking at the old photograph.
Yes, well, there is no dog on the box.
All right, little Jack Russell, right, looking at the big old style. No, okay.
But this computer was doing the same thing.
All right.
But
is it Windows 10?
Windows 10.
Yep.
But I kept it plugged in, and I gave it a try right after I called you, and it came back to life, and I got my email up and all that stuff.
But okay,
okay, good. So if you might be able to tell me, why does my computer seemingly die because all I get is a glow around the perimeter after 8 hours of
charging,
and I get a mouse arrow.
All right. We'll try to give you some answers there, Doug. Generally, my son had the exact same problem Thursday.
Oh.
And my niece had the same problem 2 weeks ago, both of them up at UConn. And nothing like driving to UConn for a computer problem. And I got there. Of course, the UConn IT desk said he blew his video card or blew his motherboard. Not to bust on the UConn IT desk, guys, but you need to do a little more research than just say he did that. It did not. When I got there on Thursday night, I pushed the power button, and ta-da, it comes on fine. And, of course, he looked at me funny and said, "What did you do?" And I said, "Well, I'm an IT geek, and I turned it on," and that's what we do. the issue
plugged it in.
Yeah. He really didn't appreciate that answer. The issue, I think, Doug, has to do either with Windows 10 updates that are occurring And then because your laptop isn't properly plugged in or have enough juice, it's crashing during the update, causing some sort of problem. And this is my theory, because I haven't really found an answer, because, again, I didn't do anything to solve this problem other than push the button, it came on, I ran through safe mode and did a few things, but it keeps coming on and working fine.
Uh-huh.
And again, I think it has to do with updates. So if you're not keeping your laptop plugged in, when it wants to force those updates down our throats, those Windows 10 updates, it could be having some sort of corruption issue, or it could be a backlight problem. It could be a screen problem with your laptop where the backlight is not coming on and you get that little glow around the edge, but the main light is not working. So it could be a physical issue with your machine.
Okay. Thank you. Now I have two questions that I think have very fast answers.
All right.
Will my computer let me work on it if my battery is very low, but I have it plugged in charging?
Generally, the answer is yes, it should.
Okay. That was fast.
Yep.
And the other one I think that has a fast answer is, can I keep my computer plugged in 24/7, 365, 10 years a decade, et cetera?
Of course. You always keep it plugged in, yeah.
I can always keep it plugged in, whether it's charged or not. Naturally, it would never be not charged.
Right.
And it would not overheat. It would not get overcharged.
It's not supposed to.
Okay.
So these batteries are supposed to be smart enough. However, we've seen these batteries explode, right? You've seen laptop batteries explode on people. Your cell phone battery will explode on you. We've seen batteries in airplanes have the issues, right? So the last part of your statement where it said, I'll never have an issue, I can't promise that. Never say never. But I always operate when I can with my laptop plugged in, and it's always safe. Go ahead, Bob.
You want to reboot every now and again because...
Yeah, turn it off if you're not using it. I think if you turn it off,
correct.
You're not using it.
But, you know, let's say you have it and it's plugged in and you've got it going and going. So if something happens and the software that runs the power... You know, kind of gets messed up by rebooting it. It like kind of resets it back to where it should be.
Yeah, and I think that was part of my son's issue in that he was telling me that he was keeping the machine running in his backpack and stuff like that. And it's just not a healthy way to manage your battery. Kids these days just think they could, believe it or not, they told me it takes too long to turn on. It's a solid state system. Solid state, Joey. I know Joey's back there laughing. Solid state comes on in seconds. When I was a kid, a boot process took 20 minutes on my 286-12 turbo when I was at college. So these kids need instant gratification, and literally keeps it in sleep mode on a solid-state drive that is almost unnecessary.
Uh-huh.
So turn it off when you're not using it, but you can keep it plugged in all the time, Doug.
So I can turn it off once a day, and that just involves pressing the on-off button for 4 or 5 seconds.
No. Yeah, just go to start shutdown. Go to the start button and hit shutdown. Let the software do it. The button should do that for you, too. But
the hard shutdown's not good.
That's a crash.
Oh, well, that's what I've been doing.
You've been crashing your machine, Doug. You're
that
crashing
may be
it.
That what's causing your video problem.
Yeah, you're scrambling your operating system.
Okay, and that other restart that you're talking about is going what? To the icon that looks like four windows?
Yes.
Or is it a round icon like nope. I've seen on some?
That's Windows 7. It's the icon that looks like four windows. And you want to go to start.
It's called the start button.
Yeah, that's our start button. Right-click on that and then do a shutdown.
Right-click on that and then do a shutdown. And for at least 20 minutes, we'll reinitialize it.
No, I was just joking about how long it took my old 286-12 to come on. But you do a start shutdown and leave it alone. And then when you go back to it, it'll come up, and that'll be a nice, fresh boot, and things should run well.
And what is the least amount of time that I should keep the computer off?
The least amount of time. Well, if you reboot it, you can just do a reboot. That'll affect it, and that's zero amount of time, technically.
Yeah.
If you do a start reboot. So the least is zero. You can just do a restart.
All right. Well, thanks very much for all those answers.
All right, Doug.
I'm a first-time caller, and I may be a second-time caller.
Sounds good. We need another resident groupie.
Thanks very much.
All right, Doug.
Bye now.
Bye-bye. But it's funny. I mean, my son was not taking care of his machine the way I would have thought he would. He thought he was doing fine by it. And I'm a geek, right?
you'd think we'd, as geeks, we sit in the car and, hey, son, how do you handle your computer? You know, we don't have those dad moments where, you know, do you turn it off on a regular basis? Or do you leave it running in your backpack, for crying out loud? We don't really have never gotten to that point in our relationship to discuss this computer usage.
In the course of everyday life,
yes,
I could tell my kids everything. But you know what?
Yeah.
They're never going to listen to me. They always listen to their friends, who most of the time were wrong.
Yes. We just never had the discussion. And I guess you're all driving in the car thinking, Eric, why don't you talk to your kid? I talk to my kid, but we just don't come up with that type of discussion. But you should think a little bit about how your kids are handling their battery-powered devices. They literally think they're instant on, always, you know, it's just ridiculous. So, all right, we got to go. We got to take a quick break here. Joey's telling me to move on. Joyce, Bill, George, hang on. We'll be right back. This is Computer Talk. And we are back. This is Computer Talk with Tab. Let's get right to your calls. The lines are all jammed up. We have found a few examples of recording software. I found something called YouSaveIt, but that's more for an Apple solution to do recording of radio programs on your smartphone. Bob is looking up another one that was suggested by another listener down in Florida, our buddy Carmen. We're checking it out, Carmen, right now. And let's go on to your calls, though, as we do a little research. We're going to go to Joyce in Portland next. Morning, Joyce.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm fine. Thank you. My question is probably a simple one. Mm-hmm. I have a Mac,
right,
and I'm trying to send 3 photos from my computer to someone by email.
All right.
And it's fine, but they don't separate. There's like they're almost on top of one another. How do I send 3, but they're individual?
Are you trying to embed them in the email?
Yes.
All right. So you could do it that way, but that's the email formatting is going to stick the photos wherever it sticks them. If you do them as attachments, you can say, "Hey, here, take a look at these email these photos. They're attached."
Oh, okay.
That might be easier for you than trying to embed it in the email.
Oh, okay, because you can actually, you know, on one of the boxes to check, you can check send email, but
yeah.
that explains it. Okay, that was easy.
Well, I hope so. I hope it works for you. Now, if the photos are too big, they still might get rejected by the mail system, but that's a whole other problem.
Right. Well, they have different sizes, so yeah. I usually pick the small.
Yeah, you can send them small or you can send them individually, one at a time.
Yeah, one at a time, right.
But I would just attach
them.
You got it.
You have a good day.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And sometimes you can do that with HTML configurations of your email client to get a better result. But the other side may not have that software, so you'll still get a bad result necessarily. It's coming over to the recipient where the photos are kind of all jarbled up. So just attach them. Let's move on to Bill in Berlin next. Morning, Bill.
Yeah, good morning.
Morning.
Yeah, I'm running 8.1 Windows, and I've given me a problem lately that I can't attach to my network, my Wi-Fi network.
Okay.
And so what I did is I stream on Amazon Prime. I could still stream from the modem, and I can even get to the modem via my cell phone. But my computer is telling me I'm having a network connection issue. So I go look at my networks available, and I try to reconnect and all that, and it just won't let me connect. So I endured this for about a week,
yeah.
And then I decided to go back to an older restore point, and I restored successfully, and I actually connected to the network.
Nice.
But that lasted for 15 minutes. Now I can't connect again.
So it's not that. It could be your actual Wi-Fi card inside your laptop is bad. The fact that you connect and then it works a little while means you're not having a DNS issue. You're not having an IP issue necessarily, unless you think so, Bob.
I think it definitely could still be a DNS issue.
Do you?
Because it gets a refresh and then it's trying to refresh again.
Okay.
Well, it's not coming back. It only came back after I did the restore.
Right.
And that only lasted for a few minutes. Now it won't connect at all.
Okay.
So it refreshed the DNS. I would suggest that you go in and put a different DNS setting into your
network settings.
Network interface card, your NIC settings. So put in... what is it?
Open DNS. He's going to recommend the Open DNS IP settings. Do you run Open DNS, Bill?
I'm not sure.
If you're not sure, you don't. You'd know if you did. But that's okay. We're going to give you those DNS addresses. Well, you're going to have to go to our website because Joey just hit the button. So unless you go ahead. What do you got, Bob, for the
208.67.222.222 and 208.67.220.220.
So you're going to go to your network interface card and change the DNS settings. Now, if this doesn't work, I think it's your actual card that's failing, and okay. You may want to go out and pick up a external one, like a USB.
Okay. I didn't know they had external ones.
Yeah, you just plug it into the USB port and see if that works better for you. If it doesn't, then you've got another problem. But I think it's either your card or Bob thinks it's your DNS. But you can go to Staples and pick one up for like $35.
Yeah, okay. So your website would have the DNS settings?
Yeah, our website will have information about OpenDNS. Please read it and check it out. And I would recommend implementing it if you could. It'll be a much safer way to browse the internet.
Oh, neat.
All right, Bill.
OpenDNS. Thanks a lot, gang.
You're welcome, sir. All right, we'll be right back. We'll be here till 11. We are back. This is Computer Talk with Tab. I'm Eric.
And I'm Bob.
And I did want to tell you about that town, in that forward-thinking town in the Bay Area of San Francisco, Mill Valley. They are just a few miles north of San Francisco. They voted unanimously late last week to effectively block deployments of small cell 5G wireless towers in the city's residential areas. I just got to ask, guys, why would you want to continue with two broadband connections to your home, either a fiber or a cable, when you have this beautiful technology coming at you? I know you're so afraid. You know, weren't they afraid of the wheel? Weren't they?
The answer is right here.
Yeah.
It's right in the thing. It says it hasn't stopped one wealthy enclave. See, wealthy people want to spend more money. They don't want cheap. They want the most expensive because the more it costs, the better it is, right?
Depends on
then
how
they can brag about how much they're paying.
I guess. Makes no sense to me. But they want to make sure 5G does not come to their city because they're afraid of it. I mean, gosh.
Well, if they're afraid of that, how about NASA shooting lasers at the Earth? 10,000 laser pulsers at the Earth every second.
What could go wrong there?
Is it the 5G that's killing us or the ray pulsars coming down from the...
But from NASA. Well, that's a mapping system, right? That's a satellite that they're putting out?
Yeah, satellite. I'll post the article to it. But, I mean, if you're afraid of 5G...
Right.
Come on, give me a break. NASA's doing this... And they've been doing it for years.
We've got Wi-Fi broadcasters sitting right in your living room for internet. I mean, they have it right. What are you afraid of, guys? We're probably okay. I say probably in air quotes because who knows? But I'm going with probably. Let's go to George in Windsor Locks first. Hey, George, what's up? You there, George?
Yes.
What can I do for you, sir?
Good morning.
Morning.
I have two questions relative to emails.
All righty.
One of them is kind of an annoyance. The other is really an open question.
All right.
The first one is, I send email to somebody who has an SNET.net address.
Okay.
He never gets it, and I never get the mail back as being undelivered.
Huh.
I'm wondering why. I'm using AOL.
He's got you as spam. He could be set you up as a spam. You're using AOL. Both of you guys are using some old mail systems, AOL and SNET. But he's probably got you as spam, so you're going into the spam black hole. You're not going to ever get a recipient red receipt back if it's deemed spam. That's the whole point of hiding it.
How do I or he correct it?
It's on his end. He has to go to his mail portal, which is probably through Oath. It's probably through Yahoo. He's not really a SNET. He's going to go to his account online and make sure he doesn't have you set as a spammer by accident. Or he has to check his Outlook. If he's running an Outlook mail client, he has to make sure he set you, George, as a non-spammer. Make sure he checks his spam folders. I bet you're in there.
Huh.
That's
okay.
That's got to be it.
Next thing, which is more important to me.
Yeah.
I send emails quite often to Hannity, Carlson, and Ingram.
Oh,
Fox News.
Sure.
I had a heck of a time getting their addresses, in spite of the fact I called a local Fox channel in Hartford.
Hmm.
They gave me the wrong name, the wrong address.
Mm-hmm.
I went online to the Fox News. They gave me the wrong information.
Hmm.
And I finally jiggled my way through a lot of series of trials and error and finally got it.
At least
I think I did.
Okay.
But when I send them, I never get that back either. Can I assume that they're getting it?
So people do not have to let you know they've read the message.
No, I understand, but I don't get it back as undelivered.
Oh, then you're fine. Yes. Yeah, so it's going somewhere. Yeah. It doesn't mean they're reading it.
Well, no, but could it be going into this big email vacuum that never responds?
Depends. So if it's their personal email address box where they would deal with it themselves, they might be reading it. But if they have people, which I suspect they have people,
They
probably have people reading the messages, and they'll pass those on that they want to get to the folks that you're sending the message to.
Okay, so you're saying that they are, in fact, getting them.
They probably are getting them. Or they're being delivered to that address.
Right. That's
are they looking at them? I have no idea.
Yeah, I don't either.
You know, they probably get a lot of email.
Well, I'm sure they do. But whoever sends them, we got to find out what their address is, because it's not available unless you do it by trial and error.
Really? I would think it'd be on the site, but I guess not.
Well, it is on the site. It says at Fox News. Doesn't give the name like Hannity.
Oh, most likely that's a Twitter. I bet you that's a Twitter handle, at Fox News or something like that.
Well, it might be, but I've tried just plain Hannity. That didn't work. I did Sean Hannity.
Yeah.
That didn't work.
No.
I finally did it by Sean.Hannity. That worked.
All right. And some poor guy named Sean.Hannity is saying, why the hell is George emailing me? Who's George from Windsor Locks, for crying? And why is he upset about this or that?
Well, I hope he gets it anyway.
Well, good luck. I hope he does too.
Okay, thanks.
All right, George.
Yep, bye.
Bye-bye. Yeah, these guys get so much messages. It's hard to know. And you can set that forced read receipt, but they don't have to actually send the read receipt out. As simple as that. Let's go on to Rob in Enfield. Hey, Rob, what's up?
Hello, gentlemen. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
So I have a computer that hasn't been connected to the internet since dial-up went out of style.
I had hair back
basically
then.
It's a check ledger for me. It has an old Quicken. It's running Windows NT, I believe it's called.
Windows NT?
Yes.
Wow. That's called new technology. Windows new technology. That was when new technology was new and shiny in the 90s.
That was when Microsoft bought Land Manager. First iteration was like 3.0.
Yeah. Wow. Okay.
I told the call screener you'd be amazed.
That's an old one.
All it's really done was be a check ledger and connected to a printer. It's got like a 36-pin connector.
Oh yeah,
to a line printer, an NEC line printer that I still can actually have been able to get ink for.
Wow.
Until last week, and then things just it didn't crash, but it's just not performing.
Right.
It's not doing what it should be doing.
Okay,
so I'm looking to get the new computer that would just be. I think the only time I think I would hook it up would be to actually load what Quicken wants me to load to. Make a new check ledger visible and functional. And I guess I'm going to have to get a new printer as well, or I could use the wireless because I do have the printer down with the main computer that I use.
Yeah, you can use it.
I'm wondering
go ahead.
What your recommendations might be because, you know, rather not spend $600 for a check ledger because that's really what it is. And
I hear you. The answer is you probably can spend $600 or less if that's all you're doing on a home-style, inexpensive computer. Now, the difference between what you bought with that NT and what you get for $600 nowadays is night and day. That computer you have there probably cost you $3,000 back then. And it was worth it because it was well-made, as you can see. It's still running. And very good quality stuff. Now, if you spend $300 to $600 on a computer, you're going to get a little more technology, a little more performance than you had, but the quality is really $300 worth of quality, which is not a lot of quality. So you can find an inexpensive computer, but if you want the same lifespan out of your check ledger that you just got, you need to be in the $1,000 range for any kind of business. So that's what I'd recommend. Trying to get yourself to a grand, and you'll have better results, and it'll last you a lot longer, like your last one has. I mean, you've got your money's worth.
Right. Just read the penny jar.
My money's worth.
Yeah.
Plus, I'd be able to use the wireless printer. I would have to buy a new printer, I would assume, then, because I could use the one that's down in my that's next to next to the line printer.
If you got a laptop that you wanted to communicate to that printer with on the network, you could do that too. But yeah, you could use a newer style printer. Yep.
And what's your opinion of used computers that are decent quality.
It comes down to a 90-day warranty. Typically, with those, anything refurbished or used will be a 90-day warranty. And yeah. You can get lucky, I guess.
Typically, they're 3 to 5 years old already, so you're already buying something
that's done. It's been through its lifespan.
Right, and they clean them up. They look good, but, you know, they've been used.
Yeah.
And you don't know how much they've been used. It's like buying a used car.
Yeah.
The lifespan would be related to the hardware inside, not necessarily the fact that, because I don't really need much technology, obviously.
Right.
So.
Well, you do and you don't. You need enough technology to run the current Quicken.
Right.
You're not going to be able to stick your old Quicken on it.
They said you need 8 gigs of memory.
Yeah.
Of the, okay.
Well, I'd be cautious of a used machine. I've never had good luck with used systems, and again, the warranties are so short.
Right.
I don't know.
Okay. Thanks very much.
All right, Rob. That's an oldie but a goodie.
Yeah. Well, as I said, I got my money's worth out of it. So thanks for your advice.
Your pleasure. Our pleasure, Rob. He really did get his money's worth out of it. Windows NT.
I wonder if it was a 3-point-something or
probably
or 4-point. Oh.
Right, I bet you it was 3-point-something. We're going to take a quick break, like 3.5, is that what it was?
3.5, 3.6, and then they had 4.0, 4.1, and then it was up to Service Pack 6.
Yeah, Service Pack away. We're going to step out for a quick break, get back to your calls. Paul and Elizabeth, hang on. This is Computer Talk. We'll be right back. We are back. Little Linus and Lucy. I think it's Gary Hoey doing that all by himself. We're going to be here till 11 o'clock. And then 11:30 comes on. From 11 o'clock to 11:30, I think you got Dr. Alessi with Healthy Rounds. And then you got Oklahoma at Ohio State. So check that out here at WTIC. Let's get right to your calls. We're going to go to Paul, who's been on the line the longest in Weathersfield. Hey, Paul, what's up?
Hey, good morning.
Morning.
I got a lot of blue screen issues.
Uh-oh.
With a sideways frown. And I've been battling with this for like over a month now. And you do something and it seems to work great for a while and then it comes back again. So
Windows 10, Windows 8, what are you running?
This is Windows 10 Pro. I got about a Asus motherboard, about a 3-year-old motherboard.
Yep.
And the thing was fine up until... you know, I would say like, you know, a month or two ago.
Yeah.
When it blue screens, it's pretty severe. I get MANSI stop codes, kernel security check failure.
Yikes.
All those fun things. And sometimes it'll actually restart 2 or 3 times right out of the gate and ask me to contact my administrator and do all kinds of extensive stuff. But if I simply power it down and come back, I got about a 50-50 chance it's going to work again.
Jeez. And so Windows 10 is supposed to be an improvement.
Windows. I've done check disk.
Mm-hmm.
I did an SFC. I even went and did a DISM.
Yep.
I thought my hard drive was going first.
Sure.
So I bought a small solid state, and I haven't jumped into that boat yet, but I'm planning on trying to get the OS over to the solid state.
Yeah.
In case it is the hard drive. But the last thing that I tried was I ran into somebody, and he told me, well, The video drivers can cause this.
Yep.
So to the Asus website, and I downloaded the video driver chipset,
mm-hmm.
installed it, and went, oh, great, it's working fine. Well, that lasted for about a week.
Okay.
And now it's doing it again.
So that wasn't it.
So the next thing I'm thinking of jumping into, what I'm calling, is if there's more things that I can check, or if I should or shouldn't jump into... putting the chipset back on it, the original Asus chipset.
So I wouldn't change anything. I would look at your clean boot. I would see if you can get in a clean boot and see if you're maybe loading an application that's causing this thing to go haywire. And that might be, you've done everything else. I mean, you're looking for hardware issues, and it may not be. It might be a software conflict. You might have some application that's a legacy application that's coming up on boot that's causing this issue. And so if you try a clean boot, where you're going to have nothing else running besides the operating system and see if you get stability there, then you can go back and try to figure out in the startup which application might be interfacing or interfering with the operating system and causing that blue screen. Does that make sense? Have you tried anything like that?
It makes sense. I don't have a lot of apps, though. I pretty much use Office 365 and Microsoft Mail and Google.
Mm-hmm. I understand.
Dang.
I understand, but you should at least try to go up into a clean boot config to see if you get more stability, because it still could be any one of those things causing right. issues. You know, who knows which one's causing it? That's part of the fun of the blue screen of death. You know, yeah. The little smiley face is just like, well, you know, hey, we're Microsoft and we're sorry to tell you this, but your system's got a problem, but we don't know what it is.
Actually, it's a sad face.
Yes. So,
in a clean boot, can I run my Office while I'm in there?
Yeah. So, yeah, you're going to do a clean boot, and then you should be able to click on your Office suite and bring it up. But it's going to try to give you a clean load rather than any of the other stuff that you might have brought in, and that might show you where the problem lies. But we'll put a link up there for you as to how to run boot from a clean boot. That's the key here. And you're running Windows 10?
Yes.
Yeah, we'll try to find an article that goes through that for you so you can run in that way. Okay. It could be a hardware failure. It could be a RAM problem. This is a laptop or a PC?
This is a desktop.
Okay. How much RAM?
16 gigs of RAM. I got 4 equal chips.
Can you pull out a couple of chips and see? So what you do there is you shut the machine down, pick a chip, any chip, pull it out, as long as it'll allow you to boot with the other 3 chips in whatever configuration they're in, and see if your machine is healthy. So if it runs with 12 gigs of RAM now, it boots up, and now you don't get the blue screen. Oh, that was a bad chip. You got to figure out which one it is, though.
You can just go bad out of the blue.
Welcome to our world. The answer is yes.
Yeah, wonderful. Yeah.
Yes.
There is checking you can do while it's still active, but without removing it, or no.
Yeah, there are utilities, but obviously while you're doing the check, everything's fine.
I download anything.
So I would try that, but try the clean boot. Try the moving some RAM around. If you're willing to do a hard drive swap, you're willing to take the thing apart, I assume.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
And you might find one of the SIMs is bad, or going bad. Maybe just reseating them solves the issue.
Okay.
Make sure you do the updates too. Get to the latest Windows 10. Maybe you've got some. You're behind a little bit. Who knows?
You shouldn't. Well, I just found one hanging out right now.
Okay.
It's probably within the last week. There must have been an update that hadn't installed. It only downloaded, but hadn't installed. So I took care of that before I did anything.
Okay.
So I got one other thing for you.
Well, Paul, we got a hard stop here, so I can pick you up on the phone on Joey's side of the screen. So let me put you on hold and answer that question later, okay?
No, it's not a question. It was just a tip, but I don't have to share it. It's okay.
All right. Thanks, Paul.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. I want to thank all you guys for joining us on the Saturday morning. Thank you, Joey Burgoyne, for actually doing the production for us. Mike G. for posting everything live.
See you next week.